The New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When a person accepts Jesus' offer of salvation, Jesus frees that person from slavery to sin that holds us captive. We begin then the process of becoming a Christ follower, a person who receives a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we are in Christ, we receive a new heart. We are given new clothes to wear. They are clothes of Jesus' righteousness. When we are in Christ, we are no longer our own. We are Christ's. When we are in Christ, our mindsets and our priorities begin to revolve around growing more and more into the image of God. And we learn how to become disciples of Jesus. Now, learning how to become a disciple of Jesus takes time. It takes effort. It takes prayer and reading our Bibles. Remember to read your Bible every day. It takes continuing to practice being a Christ follower as our new clothes of righteousness become more comfortable to wear. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 16 describes for us the mindset of Christ that as Christ followers we are to begin to model and wear as our own mindset. I'm going to read that, but start here with Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Listen to this. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So that's the beginning of the mindset of Christ that we're to be start to model and wear as our own. The next section of Philippians is the result of Jesus' perfect, sinless obedience to God. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! Finally, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, we receive our instructions. The Bible says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. A number of years ago, my husband and I went to a holiness camp meeting, and we stayed for that week. And during that week, Paul and I were told about being crucified with Christ. We were challenged to die to our sin and to live wearing Christ's righteousness. Now, I'd been a pastor for a number of years to this point, and during that week, I came to realize that I was like many Christians who obey Christ most of the time, or at least while people are watching, but who still deliberately sin once in a while, knowing that I can be forgiven each time I sin if I continue to confess my sins to Jesus and ask him to forgive me. At that camp meeting, I realized that those couple of sins that I was holding on to were keeping me from being wholehearted for Christ. I was keeping a couple of favorite sins in my pockets instead of laying them all on the altar before God. The image that came to my mind was that of a swimming pool. It was as though I was standing on the side of a swimming pool, worrying about keeping those sins in my pockets dry while wholehearted Christians were jumping into the pool. I could not enjoy the full joy of the Lord like those who were jumping in with both feet. I could not enjoy the new start of being forgiven for all of my sins with a clean conscience before the Lord. I was holding back. I was holding on to my sins. Luke 15:7 is where Jesus says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Notice in that scripture, the scripture does not say that the angels rejoice when one sinner is saved. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Many people believe in Jesus, and for the moment, they are indeed saved. But when they choose to not repent of all of their sins, they're just the same as I was, believing in Jesus, but not repenting by turning away from all of my sins. I found that it's not enough to just believe in God. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Jesus says our repentance is the reason the angels rejoice. Today's scripture in Exodus and Matthew
Those are where Moses and the disciples are told, and where we are told, that following God involves some risk and investment. Jesus used the words, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. These scriptures tell us that while we are on this faith journey with Jesus, there will be times that we have to deny ourselves by putting aside our personal interests. With our personal interests laid aside, each one of us will have to learn to take up our cross daily by obeying Jesus and never turning back to our sins. As Christ followers, we each have to choose to follow Jesus each day. That's for sure. We have to learn that to follow Jesus is to depend on Jesus. As disciples of Jesus, we learn to depend on Jesus for our very lives. We depend totally on Jesus, first, to provide for us. Second, for guidance and instruction in everything that we do. And third, we pray all the time so that we are able to hear and obey what God tells us each day. That is a relationship with Jesus. Anyone who's a Christ follower, somewhere along the way, comes to that fork in the road where there can be no more compromising with sin. I had to learn that at some point, I had to put my personal interests aside for Christ, or else I would put Christ aside. I still have to make that decision every day. I have to choose every day, and sometimes multiple times a day. I have to choose if I will be totally faithful to God or if I'm going to hold on to some secret sin. C.H. Spurgeon called them darling sins. I found that if I don't consciously choose each moment to put Jesus first, and to show my witness for Jesus with the people that I'm closest to, then my old sinful habits rise to the surface in a flash. They usually come without warning, and they always come with a lot of heartache for the people that I'm around. God followers throughout the ages have had to decide if they were going to be willing to give up everything to become a follower of God or a disciple of Christ. And so do we. Sometimes the cost of being a Christ follower can be really high. Sometimes it means that we take stands that aren't very popular. Sometimes it means that the people we love notice that our first priority is acting like Jesus. Sometimes it means that we no longer fit in with the behaviors and the thinking of close family members and friends, and they don't like the change. They don't like what the new Jesus that they see in us and the stand for Jesus that we take. Giving of our time, giving of our money, acts of service, those are all acts of gratitude to Jesus. Tithing is not only a commandment in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, tithing is also an act of gratitude to God that comes with the promise of an amazing and abundant blessing from God. Tithing is how we demonstrate to God that we're all in for Jesus. For some people, tithing is the bottom line. It means that we trust God to provide for us by trusting God with our money. Some people say, ask me to trust Jesus with anything else, but don't ask me to trust him with my money. Don't even bring up the subject. It's my money to do with as I please. And my response back, tithing is how we prove that we are totally committed to Jesus. For me, and especially for my husband, tithing is the bottom line. Denying ourselves is an act of gratitude, not a sacrifice. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken and contrite spirit. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17 is where David says, you do not delight in sacrifices. He's praying to God here. He says, you do not delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. What that means for us is what pleases God more than sacrifices, or what we consider to be sacrifices, is a humble heart that looks for God to provide for us. The evidence of a humble heart is when we willingly and voluntarily bend our wills to God's will and do what God tells us to do. It's when we give ourselves for God to use to help another person, even if that other person ends up getting the credit for what we do behind the scenes. It's Christ's sacrifice that gains me eternal life, not what I consider to be sacrifices, not for myself, not for somebody else. Jesus gives us his righteousness that is not our own. Jesus clothes us with his righteousness. The fact of the matter is, only the perfect Son of God, who never sinned once in his entire life, could pay the price for our souls with his own blood. And Jesus did. Nobody else did. Nobody else could. Only Jesus. And he did it because he loves us. People who dedicate their lives and their hearts to following Jesus do so out of gratitude because Jesus has taken our guilt away. We may turn to Jesus out of a fear of going to hell, but we stick with Jesus out of gratitude and a love for the Savior of our souls. I don't know about you, but I found that gratitude does not come naturally. I really have to work at it. Saying thank you is a simple way to show our gratitude. Can you remember the last time you said thank you to God? I found that the opposite of saying thank you is complaining. One of the hardest habits I've ever had to break, and I still work on it, is the habit of complaining. Just ask my husband. I have had to learn to give my complaining attitude to Jesus in prayer and ask Jesus in exchange to give me his holy attitude. I have to do it every day. I have to do it several times some days. Receiving God's holy attitude is called putting on Christ. It's called putting on our robes of righteousness. Never begin your day without putting on your clothes of righteousness. Otherwise, in God's eyes, it's like you're walking around in your underwear. Put on the righteousness of Christ as soon as you get out of bed. It's Jesus' life, taken by faith and exchanged for our poor, failing human natures that give the victory over sin. When we give to God our sinful attitudes in prayer and ask Him in return to give us a holy attitude, that's a wonderful exchange. It's like trading in a moldy peanut butter sandwich for a chicken dinner. Give your old attitudes to God and ask God to give you the mind and the heart of Christ. That's the clothing that we wear before God as Christians. We receive the joy of standing clean before God and with a clean conscience before the Lord and man, and we no longer deliberately sin against God. It means we put God first. And if we drop our guard, and if we sin against God anyway, then we're quick to confess it, and we're quick to turn away from that sin immediately before we become a habitual backslider. I know I backslide way too easily and way too often. But I also know that the entire Old Testament is about God punishing Israel for being backsliders. I sure don't want that to happen, not to any of us. Eventually, each one of us will come to that fork in the road where it's all or nothing for Jesus. Join me in making the decision right now. Let's give Jesus our everything. Let's ask God to fill us anew with His Holy Spirit each morning to help us get going and help us to deliberately sin no more. Let's ask God to remove the fear of trusting Him that blocks our path and the fear of what other people will think about us. Let's give Jesus our everything. If you're wholehearted for Jesus, the world is going to notice. If you're wholehearted for Jesus in this world, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, even in church. Winners are going to be inspired by your love for Jesus. Losers will try and make you conform to the ways and the fears of this world. Either way, people are going to notice you. Get used to it. I found that it's fun to be an individual who serves Jesus and not be the same as everybody else. It's not the earthly clothes that makes us different. It's our robes of righteousness that turns us into individuals who are serving the Lord. Here's a true story. There is a church where all the men wore suits and ties, and all the women wore dresses. Then one day, they looked around, and they all decided that they looked like they were wearing uniforms. So they talked about it and decided to be individuals and wear something different. Now, if you go to that church, no one wears suits or dresses anymore. They all wear old blue jeans and hoodies. They still look like they're wearing a uniform. Wearing Christ's robes of righteousness is what makes a Christ follower stand out in a crowd. That's when we trade in our unholy attitude and put on the holy and obedient attitude of Christ. That's the kind of stand up for Jesus men and women that God is looking for in His church. That's who God is calling us to be. Put on Christ's robes of righteousness. Think for yourself. Run your thoughts past God before telling them to anybody else. Fill yourself with God. Fill yourself with God's word by reading the Bible every day and by memorizing Bible verses. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Give yourself wholly to God. God will make you holy. You will reap what you sow. You give yourself to God, and God will give back to you. You cannot outgive God. You honor God, God will honor you. And that's all I have to say about that. I invite you now to join me in what's called the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer. It's going to be on the screen. If you would like, please use this opportunity to pray this prayer and make it your prayer to Almighty God. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Glory to God.